we're going to get into the message this morning. In the last couple of weeks, last few weeks at least, we've been talking about finding our identity. We're doing a time of journey on this 21 days of fasting to find or help us find our identity. And we need to find our identity somewhere, right? We look at our identity and we think and we ponder what we base our identity upon. We talked about how important your name is, because your name gives you identity. It tells people who you are. But it's not the most important identity that you can have. We've talked about having a new identity as we come into this new year. A new you that you put on as you take off the old self. We've talked about having, more importantly, an identity in something that does not go away. And that's your identity in Christ. We need our identity, yes. But more importantly, we need our identity to be based on Jesus instead of anything else in this world would have to offer. Because having our identity in Jesus, well, He's the only one that can take our past identity, erase it, and give us our new one. And He doesn't do this just one at a time, or one day, or one year, or whatever. That's a monumental thing that He can do anytime you choose to let Him do it. That's you. We. Us. We all choose to let God remake us at any moment and any time of our day in our life. That God will take us, as we had the Etch-A-Sketch here last week. He would take the Etch-A-Sketch as we made a mistake, turn it upside down, shake it. And what do we have? We have a new canvas, a new us, a new identity. It's great that we have this opportunity. And we've embarked on this special journey together in this 21 days of prayer and fasting to help us find that new identity in Christ. Jess was talking about, no matter what you're choosing to fast, I hope it's something that is driving you to connect with God more. And that you're finding out who you actually are. But as I'm preparing this message and I'm thinking about all these journeys we're all going through together, one question really came to mind. One question that came for a thought was, and I'm going to share this to you. With you, and it's something for you to think about. I'm not going to ask you to yell out any type of an answer for this one. I just want you to ponder on it a little bit. Why do we come to church? Why do we come here? Why do we come here on a specific day, in a specific place, at a specific time? What's your reason for being here? That's a great question, right? What's your reason for being here? Why do we venture out on a cold day? Why do we venture out maybe when we don't feel the best? Why do we venture out when there's other things that we look at that, hey, we could be doing this? Why do we come here? And I had a number of answers that came to mind, but as I sat and as I prayed through it, as I thought about it, as I had God speaking to me, one answer came to mind. And it answered every other question I had. The reason why we come here, the reason why we venture out on days that sometimes aren't very nice or whatever happens, we all of us, we all do it to receive something. We all come here to receive something. That something that we have is something that only God can give. We come here to receive God's power. We come here to receive His anointing. We come here to receive a miracle. We come here to receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. We come here for many different reasons, but they're all to receive something from God. That we can sit in this place, that we can have an experience of receiving something from God. That maybe we can find a new existence in our lives, that new identity, that we can find something different, that we can come here and we can have an encounter with God. That's why we come. That's why we believe. We all would hopefully strive to have an encounter with God. And you would say in your heart that you wanted to build a relationship with God stronger than before and have an encounter doing it. That's a great purpose to be here. It really is. But then I got to thinking, well, there's another question there. There's another question that came into my heart, and it's like, what's God's purpose for us to come here? Why does God say that we need to take the time to come together on a special day with all the rest of us, perhaps at a special time? What's His purpose behind it? Why does He have us do this? What does God want us to do? An answer came, and it came in a flood in my heart that it's like, it was great. You ever had those goosebumps that come to you when you know that you've been spoken to by the Lord? That you would feel those goosebumps and the electricity that happened? That's what happened. And God gave me an answer. He says, Larry, I want you to come here and be here just to seek me. Just to seek me. Just to be with me. Just to have that time. Well, when that question happened and I got an answer, it led me to another question. Doesn't it always seem like that happens like that? Especially you read through the Bible, it's like you get a question, then you get an answer, and then you get another question. It's like, well, why? Why does God want me to seek Him? Why does God want to have a relationship with me? Why does God want a relationship with you? Why? You remember I'd travel in the cars and we'd go someplace and the kids would be in the back, you know, and they'd always ask the questions. And when you'd answer something, the next question would be, why? And then after that would be, why? Inquisitive, right? So my question is, why does God want us to be here? Why does God want us to seek Him? In my heart, I know that He wants to have a relationship with me, but there are specific things that God would love to give us. And it says the only way for me to give them to you is for you to seek me, for you to be with me, to build that relationship. Some of those things that He says and He mentions quite often in the Bible about what He wants to do. He wants us to find the greatest treasures that we could ever find. God wants to give us the greatest treasures that we could ever have. I looked in the book of Matthew in chapter 13 at verse 44 and it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, what did he do? He hid it again, right? He hid it again. And then, in his joy, he went and he sold everything he had. He sold it all just to come back and buy this field because of the treasure in it. He didn't buy the land for the land. He bought it because of what he had found in it. He found something so great, treasure. It goes on to say that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, what did he do? He went away and he sold everything he had just to come back and buy that. He had found that one thing, that greatest of all treasures that God had for him that he wanted to buy and find. That was the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to seek Him so we would have access, we would know the kingdom of heaven. That we would sell everything else that we would have just to have this treasure, this kingdom, this heaven. Well, we can find that most valuable thing to us ever. God says when you do that and you sell this, you sell everything you have and you find this treasure and you come, you will also find something else. You'll find something that we all search for. on a monthly, daily, hourly basis maybe? It's the answer to the question, why? Proverbs, in the King James Version, it says this. It says, and I'm going to read this off the... It says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Why do we seek God? We seek God so that we can understand. It's the answer to the question, why? And God says, if you seek me and search for me, you will find me, right? Jeremiah 29, he says that. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And when we do, we find understanding. We find the answer to all things. In the NIV version, it talks about how we are always looking for understanding. But that when we find him, when we seek him, we will understand what is right. And we will understand it fully. That's great news that I get to understand things. Because I'm always looking for understanding. There's lots of questions I have. Not even just about God, but about all things in life. Why people do the things they do. Why I act the way I act sometimes. Why things happen the way they happen. Why the wind blows. Why the waves go up and down. We find the answers to those questions when we seek God because they are revealed to us. It's revealed in such a great way that it becomes heavenly treasure for us. We're always looking for answers. We're looking for answers for ourselves. We're looking for answers for others. We're looking for answers for whatever. We like to have our answers. But the question is, I guess the issue is here, instead of a question is, why do we keep missing? Why do we keep missing the answers? Why do we keep missing the understanding? Why do we keep missing the treasure? Why do we keep missing it? Why do we keep missing him? Why do we keep missing God? I would dare say it was hope it would be that, you know, you didn't want to miss God. That you didn't want him to go by without you seeing him. Why do we keep missing him? I alluded to before in Jeremiah 29:13 where it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Right? You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I look in that verse in there and there's a word in there that pops out to me, probably more prevalent than anything else. And you guys look in there and you go seek and you go find. And you go heart. And those are all important. But the word that really strikes me in here is the word your. Your heart. My heart. Our heart. It's important that you are seeking God with all of your heart. But oftentimes we rely upon somebody else to give us the experience that we want to have with God. That we're not seeking him with all of our heart. We're seeking him with somebody else's heart because we're looking for them to give us our answers that we can only find from God. We need to seek him with all of our heart. There's a book I've been reading. It's The Bush Always Burns by Heath Adamson. And he has this quote in here that he put in there. I want to read it to you. It says, we do ourselves a disservice if we look to others to give us a picture of God only Jesus can give us. Let me say that again. We do ourselves a disservice if we look to others to give us a picture of God only Jesus can give us. The disservice is there a lot of times. I read through that many different times and I'm looking at that and I'm saying, okay, a picture of God only Jesus can give us. But the disservice part is when we look to somebody else to give us that picture, to give us what we need, to give us the fire that we need to have in our life. Of finding Jesus for our own. We look to somebody else to cultivate the fire inside of us that we need to cultivate ourselves. Often I've said, and I will keep saying, and I will say it in public, do not place me on a pedestal up here. I will disappoint you. I will make you mad at some time. I will offend you, even though I don't want to. Something will happen where we don't agree about something. Do not place me on a pedestal up here. Look for Jesus up here and not me. I'm here to help relay words. I'm here to help and give a message that God has put upon my heart that God can speak into you individually. But a lot of times we don't. We look to the pastor or we look to somebody else to cultivate our fire for us when we need to cultivate our own fire. When we need to seek Jesus. You've heard me, well, maybe a million times, maybe not so many million times, but you've heard me oftentimes say about how we need to find God. How we find God even sometimes. Perhaps you've even done a web search on telling you, how do I find God? What do I need to do to find God? You can get answers all over people telling you how to find God. The fact is, they can tell you how to find God, give you pointers on where to go, but not how to do it. You have to figure out yourself how to find God for you because you are a unique person. Every experience that comes in life is a unique experience because you are a unique you. We're told all the time that we need to pray, that we need to read the Bible, that we need to come up here and we need to worship and praise God when we come together and even when we're out. I can tell you that what you need to do, but not how to do it. Why? Because I'm not you. We need to find a way for ourselves how to perform the tasks that we need to perform to have an experience, to have a true fire inside of us, a fresh fire for God. That's the only way we can do it. We cannot follow somebody else's specific and strict way. It says, okay, this day you do this, and this day you do this, and this day you do that. It does not work out for us. But how many of us do this? That we look and we say, well, pastor's telling me to do this. I'm going to do it exactly like he told me to do it. Or somebody else on the internet is telling you to do this. And you try to do it the exact same way they showed you how to do it. How many of us do that? All of us? Some of us? Maybe just a few of us? Question comes to mind is how vigorously do we dedicate ourselves to looking for God by ourselves in our own unique way? Or do we just try to replicate a fire shown to us somewhere instead of chasing after a unique fire that's meant for us, a unique time and experience with God? See, we all have the opportunity to see Jesus in our life. There's nobody in life, nobody in the world that can't say they don't have the opportunity to see Jesus in their life. We all do. Everyone does. But we don't always go and seek Jesus. Because seeking Jesus is actually pretty tough work. It's not an easy thing to do, to seek Jesus. Anybody that's truly sought for Jesus knows this, that it's not easy to do. And because it's not easy, because it's tough work, we don't like it. We don't like it. Anybody that says, I love tough work, it's like, liar, fibber, deceiver. Whatever way you want to say it. It's like, you tell me you love tough work, it's like, I beg to differ. I don't love tough work. I like my comfort. I like the easiness. I like, you know, it's like, but sometimes we have to do it. But what's the tough work about finding Jesus? What is the tough work about finding Jesus? The tough part of that work is actually searching for him. So you have to search for Jesus. Even before maybe you believed in Jesus, You had to search for Jesus to allow him to come in your life to be able to say yes to give you your new identity. You had to search for him. All who will seek me will find me when they search for me with all their heart. But you had to seek. And searching means that we don't know how to do it. Searching means we don't know how to get there. Searching means it's like it's a mystery. It's in the unknown. If we knew how or where to do it, we wouldn't have to search. It's kind of like finding your lost keys. I put my keys somewhere special so I could find them, and now I can't find them, so they're lost, and I need to search, right? If I wasn't searching, well, where'd you leave them? Well, if I knew where I left them, I wouldn't have to search for them. If you knew where Jesus was all the time, you wouldn't have to spend the time searching for Jesus in your life in its uniqueness. You look at somebody else that have found Jesus at this one moment and time in their life, and then you want to replicate that. That's where you're going to look for him, when it's like your life is not their life. You have to search for Jesus on your own. And the reason it's tough, the reason we don't like it, is because of the fact that we don't like where we have to go and some of the things that have to happen to get to him. But it's in the searching that we actually find the continual growth in our life. That's where that continual thing happens, where it's like, okay, I'm being made into something Jesus wants me to be, and that's through that searching time that that growth happens. Because no matter, all of us, no matter, it doesn't make any difference. Anybody calls them a follower of Jesus, we will all end up in the wilderness searching for Jesus at some point in time. We will all end up in the wilderness if we're searching for Jesus. But the secret to that is that encounters with God happen in the wilderness. That's where the encounters happen with God. It's in the wilderness. All the big encounters that come. We read through the Bible about many people who've had encounters with God. We can read about Elijah. We can read about Abraham. We can read about Peter. About the encounters that they had, and their big encounters they had with God were always when they were in the desert or in the wilderness. When they were searching for God, when they wanted to have this time with God, they sought him. They were seeking him and searching him through the wilderness, and that's when God appeared to them. Last week we talked about Moses and the encounter that he had with God. We read in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, we read about how Moses encountered God. My question is, did he miss that burning bush all the other times? He was living his life day by day for 40 years. For 40 years, he was walking in a wilderness, searching for something. And then one day, he saw a burning bush. And he found himself in the next moment standing before God. Standing before this burning bush up there. Standing before the angel of God. Standing on holy ground. Where he had a life-changing event. Where he met God face to face. And this life-changing event where he was living for himself in one moment and then living for God in the next. That is truly a special encounter. Changed his life. But this is what a personal encounter with God does. It changes your life. When you have that time, that moment of encountering God and knowing it's truly unique for you, it will change your life forever. And it's because of the searching that led to this. You read through the Bible, it may not seem like Moses was searching for God at that time, but he really was. He was trying to figure out what his life was about. going from a child of the Pharaohs to the next moment being a shepherd in the wilderness, tending sheep, and finding himself then standing before God. It really does make me think about how long he was walking around in the desert by that mountain and just didn't see the bush, let alone see it was burning. He never noticed it. Was it always there? I don't know. I don't know if it was always there. But it begs to differ. It begs to ask the question to us. It begs for us to think about things. And I know I'm saying that a lot up here, that it begs to ask the question, but it really is questions about this entire message that come up, is that how often do we walk by our burning bush that God has placed in our life without noticing it? How often did I walk in my first 40 years of life without giving my life to Jesus, that he said, here's the burning bush before you? And I never noticed it. I never saw it. We rush around headlong all day long, going from place to place, trying to get to our destination that we're trying to get to. We start developing that tunnel vision of just seeing where we want to go, where we have to be. And because of that tunnel vision, we start missing the encounters that God has for us along the way. That God has made opportunities out there for him to be with us and have an encounter with him, but we miss him because we're so focused on what we're doing, we're not focused on what God is doing. We're not focused on him working in our lives because perhaps we're not truly seeking him at that moment. And because of our tunnel vision, because of where we're focused at, we allow the circumstances in our lives to start control us instead of us controlling the circumstances. You know, it reminds me of a story in the book of Mark. And I want to read it to you. You guys don't have to follow along. You can just listen if you want. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 4. I didn't put it up on the front on the slides, but I'm going to read it to you. And it goes like this. Perhaps you'll recognize it. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, and he said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." We've probably heard that story before. We've heard that account. We've probably had it said to us in a message at one point in time, or somebody brought it up. I know I brought it up a couple of times myself about the winds and the waves and what they were doing, about how we're supposed to have faith. But there's something else in here that you're supposed to have faith about, and that's the circumstances that you find yourself in life. You see, here the disciples, they were in the boat, and this tumult of waves were coming around. The wind was howling, and they were in this emotional upheaval, the disciples were. They were in this emotional upheaval because they were allowing the circumstances around them to dictate how they were supposed to respond. That the waves and the wind that were coming dictated that I must respond in this way. Well, we certainly know that Jesus responded in a different way. He was sleeping. That's what happens when we allow ourselves and we control the circumstances as best we can, but at least how we control ourselves in the circumstances that we're in. We respond in such a way that these disciples did? Or we allow somebody else to dictate our response. Somebody doesn't agree with you and they yell at you. What do you usually do? You yell back. You allow people to manipulate emotions inside of us. We all do it. We all have that initial response that if somebody speaks to me in this way, in this manner, I immediately follow in the same way, in the same manner. We allow our circumstances to dictate our responses. And this is what the disciples were doing. The problem here in this scripture wasn't the waves and the wind. It was the response that the disciples gave. It was the response that they felt they needed to do. See, when we chase our own experience, we somehow learn to respond according to what God wants and has for us instead of just mere chance. A lot of times we let mere chance dictate how we're supposed to do things. You know, we believe in an almighty God, an almighty creator of the universe, right? We believe in Him who controls all things in this world, not chance. Chance doesn't control things in this world. It's the almighty creator. But we let chance dictate our response. The world outside of us, the world outside of the followers of Jesus, believe in chance. They believe in that. We do not. We don't believe in that. We believe in God the Father, the creator of heavens and earth. We need to start looking for the encounters with God so we can know that God is truly in our lives and He wants us to have an encounter second to none. An encounter truly with Him. I remember reading through the book of Acts many times about how Holy Spirit came into there, and book of Acts is really good for reading about how Holy Spirit is using people in there. But there's one specific story in there that really leads me in a way of how I'm supposed to encounter God. You see, Peter and John, one day they were walking to the temple, and they were going there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to have a time of prayer, right? They were doing those to go have an encounter with God in the temple. But there was this guy that was used to come here all the time at the gates of the temple to sit there, and he was lame, and he would beg people for money. He would beg them to give them things so he could survive. And he was there in front of that gate, and he was talking and yelling out to people and trying to get money, trying to get food, trying to get whatever he could so he could live. And Peter and John were coming there at that time, and he was yelling out to them. And the next thing you know, Peter and John, they stop. And they looked at this lame beggar sitting there, and he told them, "Look at me, look at us." And the guy did. Because, well, he thought he was going to get something, right? Thought he was going to receive something. Receive some money, whatever it was. And Peter looked down at him, and what did he say? He said, "Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have I give to you." And what happened there? It says, "In the name of Jesus, walk." If you'd go on to read through that, you would read how he stood up and he walked and he praised God. He went into the temple to praise God. People saw him and they were in awe of the wonder and the miracle of him being able to walk at that time. Peter and John, they were on their way to encounter God in the temple. They were focused on their destination of where they're going, but something happened is that they slowed down for one moment and they looked around at what God had placed in their life and they saw this beggar. And because they stopped at that point in time, a greater encounter with God occurred. An encounter not only for Peter and John that day, but an encounter for this lame beggar. A life-changing event for him. that he would now see God in a different way. He would now have a new identity in the Lord. And he would go off and he would praise God continually because of the encounter that he had right there. Sometimes we need to slow down. And we need to encounter God as God wants us to encounter him, not the way that we dictate it. Your personal encounter with God is real. Very much so. It's not manufactured or it's not illusion. Our encounters, our personal encounters with God are not based upon the environmental stage that we're in. It's not based upon coming to church and hearing the right music or having the right environment, preferred atmosphere. It's not about hearing the correct sermon at the correct time in exactly the way we want to hear it. Encounters with God are not based upon that. Encounters with God are based upon your personal involvement, your personal authenticity of what encounter you want to have with Jesus. That's what it's based upon. That you are out there and you are chasing down your own fire for Jesus and not chasing down somebody else's. It's not a facsimile. It's not a copy. It's your own encounter. It's your own fire for God. Your own fresh fire for God. Because if you're trying to seek Jesus through someone or something else's experience, well, you're probably going to miss him. We need to stop using somebody else's fire for our connection and start cultivating our own. Because being with God, being with Jesus, is about chasing our own encounter. It's about searching in the wilderness. It's about finding our own fire, having our own identity in Christ. And it's about enjoying the search. Yeah, we don't like to enjoy the wilderness, but we should at least enjoy the search. Truly finding and realizing we don't have to be afraid of the wilderness. And as we continue our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I pray that we would all truly encounter God uniquely and personally, seeking him through such an encounter, just like this lame beggar. It's knowing that, having your own identity, having your own fresh fire, having your own encounter, having all that you wish to have, and to see that the bush is still burning and you're standing on holy ground. That's truly what it's about. If you want that encounter in your life, if you want to see God in that way, ask for it. Seek it. When the door comes before you, knock on it. Want that encounter in your life, pray for it. Truly seek that encounter, your encounter. I would pray that everybody would have that encounter. In the beginning, when you gave your life to Jesus, you probably had your own personal encounter with Jesus. That you gave your life to him. But those personal encounters don't stop there. Not unless you want them to. If you truly want to have a relationship with Jesus that he wants you to have, you will seek those encounters every day of your life. You will seek him and you will search for him. And you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. That's my prayer for you guys. That's my prayer for anybody that would call themselves a follower. That's my prayer for this world, that people would have an encounter with God a life-changing, new identity-making encounter with Christ where they base their identity on Jesus and nothing else. That all the shame, all the guilt, all the bad baggage that would come along with your old identity, you would shed off and you would pick up the mantle of your new one and strive forward with your cross, the new cross of Jesus that you have, that you would live a life according to what Jesus wants, that you would have an encounter every day. And realizing we don't have to be afraid of the wilderness. Realizing that God loves us so much that He would walk through the wilderness with us just to make sure that we're safe. We look around here this morning, we see a lot of people that are missing. I see a lot of people and I know they're ill. I know things are going on, but I look at that and I think about, okay, what kind of an encounter are they trying to chase? What are they seeking? Who are they seeking? Are they trying to seek God through somebody else's fire? Or are they looking for their own? I pray they would find their own. And I pray it would take them wherever God wants them to go. Wherever that might be. We pray for those around us. We pray that they would all know Jesus. I pray these things because I want you all to have such life-changing encounters that you guys would be so richly blessed, that you would truly know the love of Jesus and know that He wraps His arms around you and that you can feel His love. Not just know in your head that it's there, but feel it in your heart and walk with that. Walk with His fire in you every day of your life. Every day of my life, that's what I want. Sometimes I don't know how to get there. So I walk in the wilderness. Sooner or later, when I'm searching in the wilderness, I have an encounter with God. And I pray that you guys would have an encounter with God. So as we get ready to end for today, I would ask you guys to stand, and I would love to pray for you. And as we close out the service, if you find yourself at a moment that you're wanting that fresh fire, that you're wanting an encounter with God, now's the time to pray for it. Now's the time. Ask for it. Seek. Because when you do that, God will be before you. He will walk before you. He will blaze a trail. When you're faltering, He will come behind you and He will lift you up. He's always with us. And we want to thank Him for that. We want to praise and we worship Him for that. So Heavenly Father, as we go past this day, Lord, I pray that we would always choose to search, to find, to seek that encounter with You, Lord. I pray as we go along in life, Lord, that we would take off the blinders of tunnel vision that we might have placed upon ourselves. Stop worrying about our destination so much and start worrying about the journey. That we would maybe sometimes, instead of going straight to our destination, we would take the opportunity to stop, to slow down, so that we might be able to see the encounters that You have put around us. Maybe it's somebody that needs prayer. Maybe somebody that needs some food. Maybe somebody that just needs a ride. Maybe it's somebody that just needs an ear to listen to them. I pray, Lord, that we would listen to You, that Holy Spirit would speak into us and give us the ability to see when we need to slow down, to stop, so that we and somebody else can have an encounter. Lord Jesus, we praise Your holy name, and we seek our identity in You. the renewing of our bodies, the renewing of our spirit, the renewing of our mind in you, Jesus. Knowing that you have paved a way for us, paved a way in love. So that, Lord, we can go out and show others your love. Lord, give us a fresh fire, a fire that we can go out and we can see the burning bush is always there and we stand on holy ground. In your name we pray. Amen.